What's good, Waves and World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. This is the Waves and World. I'm in here with the youngest man to ever manage and operate a casino sportsbook on the Las Vegas Strip. I call him the boy wonder sports bet, my brother from another. What's good, Casino Royale?
Wow. What's good, Five Star? What's up, Waves and World? Just excited about this show. You know, talk about the week of losing we gave out last week. The VIP, we shaking back. Everything getting back to how it's supposed to be. Close to week zero in college football. Let's do it, Five Star.
Don't trip on that. That was a qualifier. You know, one of those situations where, you know, it's a toss. So, you know, don't trip about that. But one thing I always taught you about tennis, on the toss, when it's a toss-up like that, you always take the plus money because you might as well. It's no different flipping the coin, so look for the value. And as always, man, we got the day one in here, the OG of the Wager World, the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good, Spreadster?
Man, it's going to be real football. No more practice reports. No more transfer portal. These guys are going to get on the field, and we are going to see what goes on.
Already. So we're in here today, man. Please hit that like button if you're watching the show today. Please hit that like button. It's getting close to time to what we really credit this show for, and that's for football betting, man. We got the real weekend coming up now for my birthday, man. I'm excited about that. So you guys make sure you hit that like button and please subscribe to the channel. Get these algorithms working in our favor so we can continue to keep bringing you these plays on the Wagering World. Remember, put I subscribe in the comments if you do so. Send a screenshot to myself, to Casino Royale, or to Spreadster, and we'll make sure to get you over a supreme clientele. Well played. The guys cashed. I gave them Dylan Cease. San Diego first five. Told them to pound town it, and everybody won big, man. So make sure that you guys subscribe. Continue to support us. It's always us versus the machine. We do it for the underdogs and for the underground. I split my play. Straight wave to recover a little money. Kadeki, oh, man, that was tough. A couple things to talk about today as we inch toward football season. Very close. The week is here. It's time to really make some real money. Bet some of these college kids, which you know I really love to do. But to my two guys, I have to ask a question. You guys, like myself, are tennis aficionados, and you love watching tennis. You love betting tennis. What do you think about Jannik Sinner in the news about the number one player in the world being caught up with doping? We're going to go with age before beauty. So, Casino, what do you think?
He was stripped of his prize money and everything that I had seen. And just to see the way he's been playing, man, young kid, again, we were talking about that young generation and how they are the future. Man, this is a bad look for my boy Sinner. Like, very, very bad look. We seen what, you know, I go back to the boxing world, we seen what Ryan Garcelle just went through. A lot of mental stuff, you know. Will his game ever be the same now? Will people ever, you know, bet on him? Will they think he's really that guy? But does he deserve to be the number one player? Like, all that is, you know, it's a big controversy now. He took that from Novak. Me and you were actually watching one of those matches when they played for him whenever he was going to get that number one. I was actually at your house, and you was like, that's taking first set. He might lose second set. He went third, and he was playing good tennis since then, and it's just so sad to see him, you know, go through something like this.
Yeah, it is. What about you, Spread? What's your opinion on Jannik Sinner? He's not suspended. He's not stripped of his number one. He loses some prize money, but overall, he doesn't lose much. What do you think about this, Spread?
It's definitely a tough situation. I looked into it a little more. Was reading some stuff put out by doctors in the field. And from what the information we were given as the public, I think it's hard to really make a justification on whether or not he was or was not. Obviously, it was a trace amount found in his system. So there could be some viability to his excuse. The banned substance in question is legal over the counter in Italy. So that can be an issue as well. You know, but of course, the people arguing that he did use would say, well, the trace amount is because he was tapering off for the testing. Also, the question now around his withdrawal of the Olympics, where the testing standards are more stringent. You know, draws a little bit more into question. So I can't say whether or not he did it or not. I think it'll all be washed under the rug. We know how things are in this current society with things get popular for about 24 hours and then we'll have some new controversy to talk about. The other thing that I know is I think that most of these guys are doing stuff like that. You know, it's just whether or not that you get caught. So it's hard for me to come down one way or the other with the amount of information that we've been given. But as bettors and the information I'm taking away from it is a lot of top players did come out and they weren't in support of him. They were definitely being negative towards him and assuming that he did it. So how will this affect the mental game going forward is maybe some of the loss of the camaraderie in the locker room with him being criticized as his peers, maybe something more for him to overcome. So while the penalty wasn't that strict, if he ends up losing that camaraderie and have some more problems in the locker room, it could bode poorly for him in the future. So overall, it's definitely a negative for him, whether or not he's truly guilty or not.
The one thing that I took from it, I took a couple things, but the first thing was Darren Cahill. Darren Cahill also was Simona Halep's coach as well. And he got in a little trouble about banned substances too. Are the two tied together? I don't know. I actually know a guy who's really good friends with Darren Cahill here in Las Vegas. He's an Aussie himself. And him and Cahill talk frequently. Cahill's actually here a lot, you know, coaching tennis in Vegas. But, it's not a good look for Jannik Sinner. The people who are most at odds about it are Djokovic fans. And you know how close Nick Kyrgios and Djokovic are now. Kyrgios is really outspoken about this. He's been going to town with people on X about this. He just feels like it's unfair, and he's saying that that's why his boy Djokovic might have lost the Australian Open, because we saw Sinner with a powerful performance that day. And everyone's also saying, like, this kid has the biggest forehand on tour. And remember, we just talked about this a couple days ago, how slight his frame is, but somehow he ratchets up that power like that. So taint on him, man. Anytime you accused of doping, no matter if it's an accident or what, people going to always look at you a certain type of way and wonder if you earned that. So now he's going to really have to dominate, really have to prove that he's the real number one in the world by winning some more tournaments and staying clean. Whatever happened, make sure it doesn't happen again so he can keep his name correct, because he is the face of Gucci internationally. I don't know if you guys know that, but Sin is like a top model for Gucci, man. He has some real money coming from them, so he has to protect his brand. The only guy I know that walks into the tournament with a Gucci bag when he comes in to play, man. He's a slick kid. I always liked Jannik Sinner. I think he's a real cool dude, and I think he has a lot of style, man. Good choice in women, too. Maybe that's also why Kyrgios is coming at him. No Kyrgios. That's his ex that Sinner is dating now, so in Kalinskaya. So maybe that's another reason for Kyrgios to dislike Sinner and try to air him out. But I'm hoping one day we get Kyrgios on the show.
For real.
I'm going to get him. Watch. We're
going to definitely get Kyrgios on the show. Shout out to my boy, Stefan Kozloff. You know, him and Nick Kyrgios, that they real, real good friends. And I talked to Stefan day before yesterday, actually. He reached out to me. He was we be doing some things together. That's my boy. Next time you're in town, we should all hang out. Since I'm not working no more. We definitely going to get Kyrgios on the show. We definitely going to do that.
For sure, man. Well, it's my birthday weekend, as you guys know. A lot of business to handle. Mom-in-law and grandmother-in-law is always coming through in the clutch and flying in today so they can keep the kids with me for the rest of the week so me and the wife can go and, you know, have a good time and move around and, you know, enjoy my birthday, man, around the sun one more time again. And, you know, I'm really blessed for that, man. But no time to look back. There's no time for the past right now. Let's jump right into the present. Let's go with the spread.
All right, Five Star. I'm excited about college football kicking off this weekend, and I can't wait to see where you guys are landing here so I can get these bets in right now. The college football season doesn't kick off, though, down south like we're used to. They're doing it over in Dublin, Ireland. As we've seen the NFL and the NBA try and become international sports, now college football is taking on that as well, opening off in Dublin, Ireland. Florida State. We've talked about them before. We talked about them in the preview. Of course, they had that great season last year. Then their quarterback gets hurt. They pull everyone out of the bowl game, so they did not finish undefeated. However, going into the bowl game, they had a good argument. They were in the top four last season. A lot of turnover there, though, for the Seminoles. They'll take on Georgia Tech, a team that's always known for its tough play. Maybe an advantage to play them in week one, where you have a little more time to prepare because they do play a different style of football. Right now, the line is dropping. Looks like Georgia Tech's taking a little bit of money. This line is 10.5 total, 55.5, five-star. Let's start with you. How are you approaching the first game of the college football season?
Can DJ Uiagalelei step his game up? He looked good early last year for Oregon State. I remember I faded him when they went to San Jose State. And I'm a big fan of San Jose State's program, and especially when their coach, who now is the head coach at Arizona at the time, he was still coaching over there. And Uiagalelei looked like a different type of player. And I thought that Jonathan Smith had got him, you know, on board with everything, he cleaned some things up, and that he was prepared to be the type of player that was worthy of all of that money that he got in NIL. You know, Uiagalelei was one of the first guys that got paid. I believe Dr. Pepper paid him when he signed with Clemson, and he hadn't played a snap. He was still the backup. So great job by his father. He is one of those big Samoan dads that's just real loud and a big presence, sharp guy, and he really put his son in a good position in life. I'm kind of like LeVar Ball did by, you know, really being his biggest fan and, you know, getting on these college coaches and making them notice his son. Uiagalelei has not lived up to it. He slimmed up some. You know, I think the coach Cornrows, a.k.a. Coach Norvell, is a really good coach. I like what he's done in Florida State. He continued the tradition of them getting some of the top players out of Florida, but he also brought a new style of play calling, you know, that he had going in Memphis where they're explosive on offense, but they didn't lose anything on defense. Off the muscle, I want to say that I think Florida State probably covers in this game. I think as the game goes farther, you know, they take kind of control of the game. Uiagalelei is the key. What kind of performance do we get out of him early? We know how Georgia Tech plays. Georgia Tech is always going to be a feisty team. They're going to play a lot of strong defense. They're going to run around the field. And they have some guys that are coming back this year for their team, man, including their quarterback who transferred in from Texas A&M. The one time I bet Georgia Tech last, remember, Cito, you was on the other side. You took Clemson. And I took him. And Haynes King played terrible that game. I want to say he threw like four or five interceptions in that contest, and he didn't look good. But overall, Georgia Tech is a pretty feisty team. And the thing that I like most about them, they got 16 starters coming back. That's a lot of starters coming back, man. They got their kicker and punter for special teams coming back, which is very important because they really were a good special teams team last year. And then they also have 7 offensive players, 7 defensive players coming back. They're really loaded, especially at the linebacker position. Big-time running back coming back. 2 of their receivers are coming back. I think Georgia Tech can stick around early, but I think as the game keeps going and keeps going, I think the speed and the power of Florida State kind of wear them out. So I lean Georgia Tech first half plus 7 or something like that. But for the game, I think Florida State ends up getting it done.
Seeing a plus 6.5 right now for Georgia Tech and offshore. Georgia Tech continues to take money down to plus 10. Sino, how are you approaching this game?
I feel Jordan Travis was still a quarterback on a neutral site. This line would have been minus 20, 21.5, easy, something of that nature. Agree with everything Five Star said. He couldn't have broke it down much easier. Like, you know, I'm a student of his, so we basically be thinking the same things most of the time. I definitely think in the beginning of the game, you know, they go back and forth. Georgia Tech, they keep up. As the game goes on, I just feel, you know, the Seminoles will take off. And DJ Uiagalelei, he has to show up his first game, you know, transfer. He's been playing, like Five Star said, up and down football. I think he steps up and gives the Seminoles their first win, and they cover the spread.
All right, so Sino's laying the points with Florida State. Five Star, with the demise of the Pac-12, I am now officially a Mountain West homer. Let's talk about this one. We got an FCS team favored by almost 2 touchdowns against a Mountain West team. How do we approach Montana State, who's laying 11.5, traveling to New Mexico, total 54.5?
At first, this line was scaring me. Then I started doing some research, and I saw every pundit around the country is taking Montana State and laying the points. Man, I'm going to be on the other side. I'll be a Huckleberry. First game at home for New Mexico. Got Bronco Mendenhall as the head coach. We know how Bronco Mendenhall coaches. Bronco Mendenhall is going to bring a physical style of football. He's going to make sure the offensive line is firing off. He's going to make sure that they control the game with the running game. He did it at Virginia. He did it at BYU. They got a returning quarterback, Devon Dampier, that I really like. When he came in and became the starter last year for New Mexico, they were able to take Utah State to double OT in the last game of the year. And the previous game before that, they won on the road at Fresno State. And as you know, Fresno State is always one of the better teams in that conference. Things are looking up for New Mexico. And the reason why, they have a brand new offensive line, 5 brand new transfers in there. A lot of turnover on their roster, but that's not bad when you didn't have any talent. They weren't a talented team last year, but they did have a really good defensive coordinator, the former head coach for the San Diego State Aztecs. He was their defensive coordinator. He's been doing it a long time, veteran in the game. So he used to keep a lot of games close for them last year, but their head coach was not a good coach last year. And I think that Bronco Mendenhall is. You got Montana State coming to town. Coach Brent Venegan has done a really good job with that team. They were number 2 in the FCS in scoring offense last year, averaging 40 points a game. Number 2 in rushing, 290 yards a game. They lose Sean Chambers, who had transferred over there from Wyoming, who was a big-time player, 6'5", could play some receiver, play quarterback as well, really athletic. Now it's all on Tommy Mellett. They call him Tommy Football. He's one of those really scrappy little kids, maybe about 5'10 on a good day, you know, 200 pounds, a little burst of energy. I think that the athleticism that they display on their level of playing, don't get me wrong, it's a new day. Just much like college basketball, the college football doesn't have a lot of difference at the skill position. Just like those little teams from other conferences now can shoot with the big boys, they just can't body up with them. They just can't, you know, play down low. And I think that's the same thing. Yeah, I think that Mendenhall have his offensive line and defensive line ready to contend and fight with Montana State enough to, you know, keep them bottled up a little bit, at least enough to keep the game within 11.5 points at home. That would be a really embarrassing opening to his career, getting blown out by Montana State. I know Montana State's number 4 in the FCS and all of that, and, you know, I know that they go to the national title now pretty much perennially in that division of football, but, man, you can't – the Division One team, the FBS team, get your ass kicked like that at home. And I don't think the Bronco Mendenhall will. I think that they'll stay in this game. And I think they may have the best player on the field in their quarterback, Devon Dampier, instead of Tommy Mellett. I think Tommy Mellett is a hard running player. He's kind of Eric Krause type of, you know, player. But I don't think his athleticism shines as much against a defense with a little bit more speed than he's used to facing in the FCS. So I got to be a Huckleberry. Give me New Mexico at home, plus 11.5. And are they offering a money line spread? Because it's my birthday weekend. I'm hitting that money line, you know.
I don't have this game up right now, so I'm waiting to put that one in. So I'll let you know. But, yeah, I can see where you're going there. Cino, did you have anything else to add? Or are you on the same thing?
Again, he broke it down just how I would. Like, again, you got a new coach coming in. 10 points at home is an opener. I think they're going to be real, real, you know, tougher. They're going to be all into it. It's no blowout. I think Montana State went by a touchdown, at least. You know, a touchdown field goal, something of that nature. They're not about to blow these guys out. It's going to be hard to prepare for a new level head coach. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and it's Fox Sports 1. These two teams that never play on Fox and be the only game that the world's watching all year. Now, when Montana State gets in the playoff, they'll be on, like, ESPN2, you know, and be the only game on. But New Mexico will never sniff, you know, prime time like this. Not a 1 p.m. game, you know, Fox Sports. They're going to be fired up out there, man. They're going to be fired up. I'm taking the money line if I could find. I probably have to go over to Westgate's, the only one that used to have a heart in town, right? So, you know, to serve the money line up on that. It'd probably be like plus 900. They might be smart and put it like plus 650, 700, right? What you think? Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Something around that nation.
What you think of minus 11.5 pay? I mean, a plus 11.5 pay on money line when they know that they have a chance of winning. Because you know that's the key. Yeah.
By 600, 650.
600, that one.
But that nation had you scratching your head. Like, why is like this? And then they just want you to money line the other side to take your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now I'm seeing a plus 12 with Georgia Southern at plus 340.
Okay.
So probably around there.
Okay.
I'm just using, I just grabbed the game. It was plus 12.
Who are they playing getting 12 points against?
Georgia Southern getting plus 12 against Boise State.
Oh, they're going to get blew out, boys. They're going to smoke them. They're going to smoke them. That 340 is low. I don't want 340. I'll take the points over 340. I can wait to get 340.
Seems a little lower than,
you know, that's way too small. Way too low. No way. It's all about value, guys. When you bet in sports, you got to always remember, I always bet straight, first of all, because parlays are the devil. Remember,
we just talked about that before.
Like I told Cito when we first started doing this, parlays are the devil. So never get into parlays. If you're up, you can play with a little bit of parlay money, you know, $50, $100 here and do a couple of flips. But your solid bets, man, even if you're seeing multiple things that look good, always remember to go straight on it. Because at the end of the day, it's all about making a profit. What we got, Spread?
2 hours up, Interstate 80 for me, University of Nevada, Reno, hosting SMU. And odds makers aren't expecting a lot. I wonder if they'll be getting a little Nevada money in that book as they're catching 24.5 on a total of 56.5. Man, that's a lot of points to catch on a total that low. A lot of times those 24s you're seeing in the 60s or 70s. How are you approaching this one, five-star?
This one be tough, man. I'm going to be honest with you. You got Jeff Choate is taking over for Nevada. He hasn't been a head coach in 2 seasons. Well, ironically, he's the one that really rebuilt the Montana State program. He gets them out of the gutter. They were losing. He takes them to the playoffs 2 years straight. And then COVID comes out, ends up taking a job for Texas, and then goes to Washington and says, well, I'm going to be a coordinator because it'll set me up for future jobs better being a coordinator for FBS school. So that's what he does, and now he's back coaching football again. He's the head man over here in Nevada. Montana State, it wasn't instant when he took over the reins. It took a while to build, and I think the same's going to happen here with Nevada. Nevada's not that talented of a team. They do have a nice little group of players to pick from, because you'll be surprised. The high school football is better than people think in Nevada. That was surprising me when I came here from Texas. Because you don't hear a lot about Nevada. Don't get me wrong, Bishop Gorman carries the flag. They're far and beyond better than everybody, and their players are probably what pulls Nevada up as far as in ranking, because their players are really successful when they go play at universities. But overall, it's a pretty good state for football. So he has some options to touch around here in the state. Got a quarterback transfer, Brendan Lewis from Colorado. I guess he figured out, like, I'm never touching the field with Shedeur Sanders. And Deion is the coach. So he transferred up there to Reno. Reno used to have a really good home environment, tough place to play. I just don't know how Choate's going to approach this. I know he's a physical coach that likes to run the ball. That was his old strategy and approach to playing football. But we don't know how these coaches take off 2 years from being the head guy. Sometimes they go and get different coordinators and approach the game differently. So this is going to have to be a wait-and-see approach for me. If I'm going to be on anything on this game, it's SMU, because I'm more familiar with them. Brett Lashley's really good. Preston Stone will be trying to really put on an impressive performance, because his backup is going to be pressing him. A lot of people want his backup to be the guy. Preston Stone, though, can throw it. He can chunk it all over the field. 14 returning starters for SMU. Sound defense that was really underrated last year. And they returned some key guys. Both their linebackers are back. Rush D.N., both the safeties are back. You know, if you got strong safeties and linebackers, veterans who know where to be at and where to put people at on the field, you're going to be really good. I'd probably lean on this one, Spread, first half under 30.5. I think that they're going to go up-tempo. I think that their coach is smart enough to know that you want to limit the possessions of SMU. And SMU's going to do what they always do. They're going to spread up and down the field. But what I can say is Lashley has made them a little bit more than just a run-and-gun team. They're not just a run-and-shoot old SMU teams we used to see before. They are a little physical now. They do run the ball, but they do put up points. R.J. Maryland, that tight end, is a big-time player. I'll be searching for his over on yards if you could find it somewhere. I think that he has a big game in this opening game. So, me, I lean to the under 30.5 first half, but it's not an official play. It's a wait and see for me. Probably something I'll jump in live.
Cino, how are you approaching this game between SMU and Nevada? I think these 24.5 point spreads are tough. There's a lot of variance that goes on at the end of the game.
Five star, he break it down so phenomenal, man. A lot of variance. These guys, 24 points to start, is there for a reason. I used to play big favorites like that when it start. So first half, I definitely lean SMU and keep it like that.
There you have it for this weekend. Week zero is here. And, man, we're going to have the big show next week when we have all the teams kicking off. Yeah. Just one thing I wanted to point out, five-star, USC taking money.
Good.
I thought they were going to go to seven. It's good. It's down to 4.5 offshore right now for the USC-LSU game. Kind of surprised to see that. I thought the line would go the other way.
So. Can we be surprised if you were a really sharp bettor? You're going to look at this game and you're going to dig into the past and you're going to notice one thing that is the constant about LSU since Brian Kelly's been there, slow starts. We've lost the first game of the season. All three seasons he's been the head coach, I want to say, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're playing Florida State, so I forgot what the other one was. We played Florida State twice, and it was somebody else that they played. They lost to as well. But that's the thing. We know Lincoln Riley's going to have that offense popping. So LSU can't take any plays off and can't get off into the type of game where Nussmeier's going three and out and they keep giving the ball back to USC because they are playmakers. And you know how this thing works with teams that play like Lincoln Riley's teams play. It's momentum. If they get a little good energy going early, the receivers are seeing like, oh, this they weak. I thought they was like this LSU. They catching balls and the hits is not as hard as they thought. It can get ugly. USC can pull out for upset. So I can't wait to look deep into that game next week. And hopefully, like I said, Cino and me and the kids are go pull up over there, man. I bring Ian and Dean. I ain't bringing Dean. Dean or up, man. It'll be me, you, and Ian. So I'm not.
We got
to talk about my 4-year-old. His ass is bad.
Dean, shout out Dean, man.
Yeah, shout out
Dean. I'm going to keep an eye on that line, five star. I'm curious to see if people are going to buy back. And it's just pros looking for a middle, thinking that 6.5 was the peak. And they'll just sit on the 3.5 and eat the juice if it goes one way or the other.
SC's always a dangerous team to lay points with because we know they can backdoor just off of Lincoln Riley's system. You know?
Good point. Yeah.
You know, that's why it's always I'll be looking at that game most likely from what I know, I haven't dug into it, but from what I know, just off the top of my dome, I'd probably be looking LSU first half on that game because, you know, I like to break the games down in halves. I think Nussmeier, he's a drop-off from Jaden Daniels. He doesn't bring the scramble, but if he's comfortable, he can throw the ball. And you know they're going to have a lot of playmakers and running backs like always to LSU. But the main thing that I see LSU team being able to do against USC is run the ball. I don't think USC will be able to get them off the field running the ball.
All right. The tradition of great linebackers at USC is gone. Let's move into the ball and parlay. Five-star, what do you got for us tonight?
Well, we're going to roll with Montana State in New Mexico game, man. I'm going with the +11.5 in New Mexico. I really like that a lot, man. It's extra juicy. You're going to have to just show me wrong, man. You got Tommy Mellon. I've seen him play. He's not too much of a passer. So I don't see them being able just to run up and down the field on Bronco Mendenhall's defense. I think that he comes up with some type of way to at least slow them down and keep this game within the touchdown or maybe even pull out the upset. So give me, and this is going to be a well play. So I'll be playing New Mexico for 10% +11.5, guys. I'm pounding it. I think that's more than enough, and I'll be enjoying my birthday the rest of the weekend.
All right, big play from Five Star Play. I'm heading down to Mexico. That's right. I'm taking the home country advantage of Renata Zarazua. I know it's tough going against Katerina Alexandrova on hard courts. That is a preferred surface. And these courts do play kind of fast, which fits into the way she plays. But this is traditionally, she's always done well at home. This is like her Super Bowl. And then we talked about this before. We like to fade the big name players in these tournaments the week before a Grand Slam. And I think that's the situation we're getting with Alexandrova. I think one player is going to be given 100%. And another player, if she loses the first set, I think she'll go ahead and pack it in all together. So I'm getting +152. I took Renata Zarazua to get the upset at home in Monterrey, Mexico.
All right, you heard spread is going with Zarazua. She's, maybe she get the crowd to roll with her, but like you said, Alexandrova, one thing we know about her, she will pack it up fast. She will pack it up fast, man. I was watching Keenan the other night. It made me so sad. I had so much hope for Keaton.
Man, I seen you tweeted that 5-star. I seen you tweeted that you had it. She cost you a big bag yesterday, huh?
Cino and I had a run on her. Remember Cino?
Oh, yeah, she was.
We bet her every match, I want to say, from maybe 2019 through like 2020, up in that range. Like, because at first the books were slipping, man, and she was hitting so many plus 300s for us.
It
was ridiculous. And it makes me so sad because even when she started, she was with FIBA because she was, you know, an aspiring athlete. Like, I guess they saw her game and she was a really good junior. And now, man, she's out there wearing like a Ross shirt. Her shirt looks like a t-shirt you got on, Springs. It's a great t-shirt. She out there playing it like a great t-shirt.
I probably got this at Ross.
Yeah, see? She playing it like a great t-shirt. I feel so bad for her. Her dad's sticking it out when he out there with his hoodie on over his head sitting in the cold rain in Cleveland. I'm like, this tennis stuff is tough. Like, man, I'm not... If my daughter gets to that stage and she goes all the way to the top and then crashes like that, I'll probably tell her, man, take that money you got. Go to school. Yeah,
right. Start a career or something. Like, you already won the slam.
Yeah, what you got to see, though?
I'm going to pick the hardest game on the board today in baseball. Why not? I don't think it's an easy bet on either side, but no way in hell the Tampa Bay Rays should be favored against the Oakland A's the way they've been playing baseball. Tampa Bay's bullpen is terrible. Oakland been looking real, real good. Nice little win streak. So let's lay the minus 130 on Tampa Bay money line against the Oakland A's tonight.
All right, we're fading the A's. All right, let me put that in right now.
A's been pretty good though lately.
Yeah, they've been.
They got bats. They got a good young lineup. Some young guys you don't really know their names, but they're performing. Them and Tampa Bay are pretty much mirrors of each other. They're both babies of Billy Beans. Style of baseball that we saw on Moneyball. People thought that he had passed, but he's still here and he's still kicking, man. And his style of baseball is still being used today, that Moneyball style. All right, guys, we got the picks. I told you I'm going to be on a 10% play. I'm giving you guys my well. Do not jack me or you'll never get a 10% again. I'm taking New Mexico, man. Plus 11.5 at home. I think Mendenhall have them ready for Fox Sports. Cino's going with the Tampa Bay Rays, and Spread is giving you a money line. He's going with a juicy plus 150 on Zara Zua. Thinks that she can upset Alex and Drova. Show number 5, guys. No, that's my favorite number. We got my birthday coming up on Friday, so we will not be here, but we will be back on Monday. Watch for us both all on X. We'll be sending out a couple free plays throughout the week, you know, just to show you guys some love as the week approach. I probably sent out a couple CFL. I might do a video from my room or whatever, and let you guys know who to take. Just a quick one, just so you guys can have some plays for the weekend. Anything for the people, Spread, before we get out of here?
Man, I'm excited to see football kick off. Let's cash that New Mexico ticket.
Anything for the people, Cino?
Same, man. Excited, ready for the next show. Like 5-star said, no show Friday. We'll be looking forward to you guys on Monday. And we're doing the rest of the season for my man Kingston.
All right, man. What's up, RIP to Kingston? As always, this show is dedicated to the greatest Houston sports fan I know. That's my father, John H. Lindsay. I do this for you, Dad. You guys make sure to hit that like button. Let's get these subscribers up. Let's get these likes up, man. We're in our part of the season. It's the fall. It's here. It's football time. Continue to watch the wagering world. All the games over now, man. It's time to get to the real football. Let's cash. Let's get it. 5-star in Vegas, Cino Royale, Spread Estelle. This is the Wagering World.